Hello, everybody, and welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. My name is Becca Dukes, and I just really want to focus on the positive side of life, the good things that are happening. I know we are surrounded and bombarded by so much that is not uplifting, so much that is not empowering. And that's why I created this program. As in my daily life, I am always looking for the positive things, the things that are going to lift myself up, lift my family up, help me in my pursuit of raising my children and my grandchildren so that they can see the beauty in life and not be limited in what society says they can and can't do. And with starting today's program, I have an amazing man who, I mean, he's done so much. And we're going to really talk about how, you know, when he was introduced as a young child, he was introduced to music. And through that, he studied health and nutrition. His family owned a fast food restaurant, which, you know, doesn't fall within the food and nutrition, but I think it really gave you that opportunity and experience in dealing with people that, you know, as you went through school, you got a bachelor's and a master's in industrial engineering from a major state university. You were an operations and research analyst for a major U.S. automobile manufacturer. You had a career in commodities and taxable fixed income sales and trading. But you've also been a musician, a music educator or instructor. You've even owned a music store. Now, Dennis, and it's Malik, right? I want to make sure I'm saying it right. I mean, I know I've known you for about a year, but I just want to make sure that I present to you, the world, Dennis Malik. Dennis, welcome to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. I am so excited to have you here with us as we are starting this new program and really introducing people, especially as myself as a mom. I homeschool. We're at the age where we're getting ready to choose an instrument. I love to have my son listen to different genres and share with us a little bit your experience, your insight on how you feel music has helped in your well-rounded life.
Okie doke. Thank you. And my pleasure being here. And what happened is when I was probably about 6 years old, my father sat down with me, and he wasn't spending a lot of money in those days because he was saving for this business, but he still went out and bought records, 45s, 78s, and 33 and a third records of almost every genre of music you can think of. He was a big band guy. He was a saxophone player, and he had a little band in Detroit, and they did weddings and things like that. But he sat me down with all of these different genres. And I'm talking about swing, classical, opera, big band, jazz, modern, not so much rock yet, because that was not quite his thing, but Latin music, different types of Latin music, Cuban music, and everything like that. He said, son, I'm not going to tell you what to like. He said, I'm just going to play this for you. Just listen to it, and I'm going to play it for you. And you decide if and what you like. So we did. We sat down, little record player, one of those little record players that you flip up, open RCA Victors with the dog and the, you know, the whole thing, and flipped it open, put these records on, and I sat there with him, and turned out I loved every single one. I loved every music type that he played for me. And henceforth, I still do love everything. And I, now these days, I play all this kind of music too, which is even better. But I always knew I wanted to play the clarinet first. Used to watch Lawrence Welk. We didn't even have a TV set, okay? But my parents, we used to drive to my grandparents' house on Saturday evening and get around the TV set in their living room and watch the Lawrence Welk program. And they had a guy named Pete Fountain. He was a New Orleans Dixieland jazz guy that Lawrence Welk Jr. hired, heard him play one time. He said, "This guy's fantastic. Let's bring him on the show." They featured him for one song every show. And I don't know why, but when I listened to him play, I just fell in love with the way he played the clarinet. And I wanted to play the clarinet so bad. My parents couldn't afford one. Even though we had a little flutophone thing in fourth grade. So like a recorder, but slightly different make. And we played the flutophone, and my dad taught me songs on the flutophone. So here in fourth grade, at the end of the class every week, the teacher would say, "Anybody have anything they want to play for us?" Well, little Dennis raised his hand and got in front of the class and played whatever tune my dad had taught me how to play. And the teacher wrote a note home to my parents, "Put this kid on an instrument." Well, they couldn't afford one yet. So I had to wait until seventh grade. I went through fifth and sixth grade without an instrument. We opened our business when I was in fifth grade, and they had finally made enough money to pay off the loans and, you know, make profits. So I got my instrument in seventh grade. Well, in the meantime, there was a friend of mine who had a clarinet, and I'd go over his house and he'd say, "Okay, let's play some Soldiers." So we'd play Soldiers. And then I said, "Larry, you got a clarinet." And he says, "Why don't you get your clarinet out?" No, he'd get it out and he'd play a little bit. I said, "Do you mind if I play it?" Well, he let me play it for about 2 minutes. And then it was, and then he'd take it back. I said, "Oh man, I know I want to play it more than he does." And he put it away and that was it. Well, finally I got my clarinet in seventh grade. And that's when I started playing music. And I lied to the band director and told him I'd played a year when I got it on Friday and practiced real hard over the weekend. And yeah, Monday I don't want to say audition. Yeah, I played for him, I guess, so kind of like an audition. And he said, "Okay, we're going to put you in the second band." I skipped the beginner's band, luckily. I got put in the second band in seventh grade. And then that's kind of all she wrote. Eighth grade, I made the symphonic band. And then went on, ninth grade and 10th grade. I was in marching band at high school. And I didn't like the clarinet so much in the marching field. So I said, "You know what? I'm going to play the trumpet because it's loud and they got the melody." So I picked up the trumpet. I started playing the trumpet. And somewhere along the way, saxophone figured in too, but saxophone was pretty easy to play once you played the clarinet. And then I became the biggest, quote, band geek there was. I went 8 years after high school as a counselor / instructor at their band camp in the summer. Here I was working, professional job, and everybody say, "Well, what, you're taking a week off?" I said, "Yeah, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm going to band camp." "What, you're not going to Jamaica?" I said, "No, I'm going to band camp." They said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean. I get to live outside all day with music." To me, there was nothing better than that. Teaching kids and working with them, you know, showing them how to march, showing them how to play the music, having sectional rehearsals. So I did that for pretty much as long as I could. And the guy that was the band director, he switched schools. He went away from the district. So that's when I quit doing it. But I did 8 years after graduation. And so I did that. And I always had music as part of my life. Even though I did all these other jobs, when I moved to Chicago first, did commodities in the commodity exchange, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Then that was a little bit too stressful for me, standing up and yelling and screaming all day. This is not good for my health. So I went to New York and got the job in taxable fixed income, sitting at a desk, kind of doing the same stuff, but it wasn't an extremely noisy environment and you weren't standing up. So, but all through that time period, I played music, not professionally, but I still played. And most times I played is when I was stressed. I'd be stressed. I'd come home on a train. I commuted from Princeton, New Jersey to Manhattan, back and forth. Long 45-mile commute, which took usually almost an hour and a half door to door. And so when I got home, if I was really stressed out, I'd do one of two things. I either listen to music or play music. A lot of times I also do guitar as a hobby. It's just fun stuff for me. But a lot of times I would sit on the bed and I'd get out my guitar and I'd strum my guitar. Next thing you know, I wake up and it's like 2 a.m. and I got a guitar laying across my chest. I fall asleep playing the instrument and just talk about melting stress away. It was fantastic. And historically, then I decided at about 20 years into doing the Wall Street type of work, my father was getting a little elderly. He was living in Detroit, and it was sort of time for me to come home in a way. So I moved back to Detroit, and I said to myself, well, you know, I want to do something. And I think, you know, I want to do music. So I started out and I played in a community band, first thing. The band director was a guy I knew from high school. So that became a natural, then evolved into a brass quintet, and then evolved into a dance band, a big 17-piece, big dance band. And then after that, I met the guy at the music store, because I became, unfortunately, or fortunately, became president of the band. The band director kind of, urged me into becoming president, and I did. And so I was in charge of advertising, and I went to the local music stores. Well, I went to one music store, and I know he was looking, had known that he was looking for instructors. So I asked him, and he said, yeah, okay. He said, well, what do you want to teach? I said, well, I teach saxophone, clarinet, and trumpet mainly. And he said, well, I'm looking for low brass. And I said, well, that's not my forte, excuse the musical joke, but doesn't matter to him. He called me up and said, I got a student for you, tuba. Tuba, okay. I got a student for you, trombone. Okay, so I learned the tuba and the trombone really fast. And then he had evidently had somebody that was already teaching the instruments that I did, who decided they were gonna leave. So they left. Next thing you know, I'm getting trumpet and clarinet and saxophone students. And worked my way up from the one student all the way up to almost 60. So I was teaching, he told me, he said after about 3 months, he said, you're gonna be teaching 6 days a week. I said, no kidding, I don't think so. I said, I'm gonna be teaching 3 days a week max, because it's supposed to be part-time. Well, he was right. I was teaching 6 days a week, 10 students a day, or basically 5 hours a day, and got to teach everything. Next thing you know, I'm the only wind instructor in the whole store, except for flute. We had a girl who taught piano, also knew flute. So I ended up teaching everything. And that's when I started to fall in love with teaching music and just getting to see the students. And starting out fifth grade, or even some younger, but fifth grade, fourth grade, and just seeing them develop as not as just as musicians, but as human beings, as children growing into young adults and into an adulthood. Some of them I taught for 7-8 years. I taught them into college from middle school, and just seeing how they develop and just watching it, like it's like part of a family. In fact, some of them actually used to call me Uncle Dennis. Because, you know, I said, we feel like you're part of the family. Well, you see them once a week at least for a half an hour, some for an hour. You really get to know them. And their parents bring them. You get to know the parents. I used to have the parents. They're welcome to sit down in the lessons. If the parents wanted to, and if the students wanted them to, I said, you know, if the student really feels uncomfortable with mom or dad in there, then maybe I should teach them alone. But a lot of the parents sat in, and primarily most of the students liked the idea of having their parents listen to the lesson, and I did too, so the parents could know what it was all about, how I was teaching them, what I was telling them, and how they were developing musically, as well as, in terms of just being people, throwing a little bit of philosophy in or whatever, you know. So that's what I did. I did it for a long time. Then I got offered the opportunity to buy the music store, which, you know, I look back upon it. I kind of wish I didn't, in a way. Only reason is I was a music teacher who bought a music store, not a music store owner who became a teacher. So because the teaching was my first love. So, but then again, it was time to move on to another aspect of life. So, and I had always wanted to live in a warmer climate where I could spend more time in short sleeves and shorts and flip-flops as opposed to, you know, flannel shirts and khaki, I mean, not khaki pants, but corduroy pants and hiking boots. Even though I liked that too, I still always wanted to be outside. So ended up moving to Florida, started all over again, basically. I do have about a dozen students I teach online. And, but I picked up the local music store here, Troll Music in Venice, Florida. And I teach there, and I probably have 20 students there and 10 students online. So basically part-time teaching and also playing, meeting people down here. And I've been talking enough, so I think maybe you didn't ask me.
No, so there's a few things that you mentioned, and I was a band geek. between 4-H and band. I didn't have time for TV. I didn't have time for boys. I was a good student. You know, it's like my studies, band, and then I went back to the home where we had the farm. And something that you mentioned that I also found in my own when I'm thinking back is music. You know, I would go home and yes, I had my practice time, but for me, practice time was not a chore. It was that unwind. It was that taking that stress of whatever happened through the day, whether it was a good stress or a bad stress, that I was able to either release or celebrate through music. Alto saxophone is where I started. And I went into the marching band and the symphonic band, and the favorite was jazz band where I played tenor.
Wow.
Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. But unfortunately, I haven't picked up my sax and really played it since high school. And
it's never too late.
It's never too late. That's right.
One quick story I can tell you. There was a guy a number of years ago back in Michigan who came to me and said, I want to learn how to play the trumpet. Okay. He was 65 years old. He said, I want to learn how to play the trumpet. And of course, I never discourage anyone, because to me, the desire is much more important. I wanted to play the clarinet. Nobody's going to tell me to play the flute or the trombone. I wanted to play the clarinet. Well, this guy wanted to play the trumpet. And trumpet's an extremely physical instrument. He was a retired police officer. And he said, I want to learn how to play the trumpet. I said, okay, Dominic, we're going to learn how to play the trumpet. So at 65, he took lessons for about 6 years. And he went through all the series of individual method books. They're called Rubank books, but they've been around since the 30s. But they're still kind of like the gold standard for instruction of most wind instruments. He made it through the second advanced book, which was all four books. So it doesn't matter how old you are. I play with guys down here. Two guys I play with. One guy is 91. One guy is, I think he's 93 now. Still plays. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's what music can do for you. Keeps you young.
And that's what I was just going to say. I mean, it keeps you young. It keeps that energy flowing. And I love Plato's quote, where music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything.
Yep.
And when I think about kids now, they come home from school and, you know, parents are working. They plop themselves down in front of the TV or in front of the computer, or, you know, have their little handhelds.
Game Boys, yeah.
Game Boy, Switches. And I'll have to admit, I'm guilty. You know, there's been times where I've been working on a project and my son is done with his studies and, you know, it's too cold outside for him to go out. And so that's kind of, you know, his thing, but he's at the age now where getting him involved in something that is going to start sparking that creative energy that's just trapped inside of him.
Yeah.
He loves to sing. He loves to listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that, you know, making sure kids have opportunities to explore just opens up a whole new world for them.
Yep.
And okay, so let's talk about music and what music can actually do in contributing to life. Okay. For me, of course, music, you're counting, you're working with measures. You're working with fractions. And I was an analyst. I was in the automotive industry also, just not, you know, for the big guy. I was one of the subcontractors making mm-hmm. parts for several major automotive manufacturers here in the United States. And then I went into the medical device and I was a product and process analyst, and I was teaching statistics to the employees. And, you know, I think music really helped in creating that strength in math that led into later, you know, part of the, some of the careers that I was drawn to.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
We talked about this a little bit on the phone, but, you know, I taught a lot of students, granted, but I still always had at least one or two valedictorians in my studio every year. Different. I taught from probably 10 different high schools. I mean, where I was in Detroit, it drew from a lot, the whole maybe 4, 5, 7, 8 different cities, and some of them had multiple high schools in them. So I probably taught from 10 high schools, but I at least had one or two valedictorians. And I think the percentage of valedictorians that are involved in music in band or choir is very, very high. Very, very high. Now, do you say that the student is talented and smart both? And that's got to be some of it. But the other part of it's got to be too, that being involved in the music helped their brain power, allowing them to become valedictorians, top in their class.
Yeah, I mean, wings to the mind.
Yeah, you said it. You deal with measures, you're counting some complex stuff. And you said you like jazz band. Jazz band's got the complex rhythms. Syncopation, where you're playing on the upbeats, you know, all the jazz stuff. And reading that kind of music, it's just so mind stimulating. It just, it requires so much energy. And you talk about even going to older people, talking about keeping you young, same thing. These guys, I play with a guy who was a trombone player. He was a backup to Johnny Carson's Tonight Show band. And I don't know how old he is. I'm guessing he's in his late 70s, but I mean, he reads music like a wild man. He'd just sit there, the guy will give us new sheets to read songs. And we don't like to rehearse too much because our time is kind of valuable. So when we play at this senior friendship center for these people to come and dance to, he gives us some music, or sometimes he'll send it in an email, but sometimes we just give it to us and we'll sight read it right there on the spot. Talk about keeping your mind healthy. Sight reading music is probably, I know they talk about, you know, crossword puzzles and things like that, but I don't think there's anything that could almost compare to sight reading music to keep your mind stimulated and healthy.
Well, and not just your mind, your lungs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I understand that this show is kind of geared, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Emphasizing, you know, younger students and things like that, but to keep the mind healthy as well as the love. But just sitting there, and I see it myself, just read. And because I'm also a chess guy too, and I haven't played chess a lot lately, but to me that's one of the other things that keep the mind young, playing chess. So, but the young students that I found out that really, really put their mind toward their music are the ones that are really successful in other endeavors too. And I'm not talking about just scholastic endeavors. They do soccer, ice skating, figure skating, things like that. And that keeps them physically healthy. And I always tell them, even playing music, is you got to stay physically healthy to play, especially a wind instrument. Take a trumpet and you got to put a lot of air through a trumpet in terms of compression, pressure, diaphragm muscles. And, that sort of thing that also combines the physical aspect with the mental and the emotional.
Yes, I agree. Well, and when you think about it, you know, whether even for athletes, I mean, because I work with some bodybuilders, some people that have been very successful in sports on into college. And even into, you know, the professionals, but majority of them, when they're working out, they have their headphones on and they've got music that is really helping to create that adrenaline and create that energy that keeps them going. And I remember marching band, we did a parade that was like 4 and 4.5 miles long on this parade. And I know that people do longer parades, but to think about it, at 15, I had bad knees. And I did that, but I still had the energy. Yes, I hurt, but mentally, I was strong. You know, other than the pain in my knees, I felt fantastic at the end of that parade. And I really think that it was because of the energy, even though I was putting out a lot of energy, there was a lot of energy that was coming back through that music as we were playing.
Yes.
And it's incredible. It's incredible that, you know, you were saying the diet, keeping the diaphragm strong and having to, you know, keep composure and posture and movement and have all those things working together while your fingers are working and your breath is staying on point. It's incredible how that experience, looking back, I haven't thought about it in 30 years, Dennis. Mm-hmm. But looking back, it's like all those good memories, you know, all those things that I should have kept going. In my older kids, they all had the opportunity to do music and they loved it, but they were very athletic. So sports kind of pushed the music aside, but they still love listening to music.
Good. I hate to kind of say this in a way, but I have several friends here. Okay, I'm in a community in Florida that's got mostly retirees. Venice is known for that because it's such a beautiful place. And I had a couple of friends of mine, we go bike riding and stuff like that. And what are you doing today? Well, I'm playing over at the gazebo today with the Gentlemen of Jazz. Oh man, that's great. He said, you know, I really wish I'd have done more with music and less with athletics. Is what I've had 2 or 3 people tell me that already.
Yeah. Well, because you think about it, you know, as you're getting older, yes, you can stay active, but not really perform at the level you were when you were younger. And with music, you can keep that going and it builds and you get better and better. Yes. I mean, I think it's fantastic that you continue to be active in your community through music.
Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful because my biggest time competitor for my students is the fact that they have multiple interests. They're in chess club, they're in robotics club, you know, plus their athletics. They're in all these other more cerebral type, you know, clubs too. So the musicians seem to also be much more involved in other aspects of going to school. And that's what's wonderful.
I think that it is absolutely fantastic. And we do have to take a break. I want to thank everybody for jumping on here at KSCO 1080 and listening to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. And I'm just so honored to have some amazing guests that are in the lineup to be brought to you, the community, the family of KSCO. It's Malik, and we are talking about music and how beneficial it is at any and every age and starting young. Now, Dennis, we talked a little bit about, you know, your childhood, and I really, looking back, we watched those Lawrence Welk reruns. Mm-hmm. And I remember that dance band. And I was like, I was just mesmerized. You know,
people always made fun of him because they're the one, a two, or three, you know, and that stuff. But he's the one outlasted everybody in terms of bands. And he only quit because he retired. It wasn't because his popularity diminished.
Well, and you can still find reruns of Lawrence Welk now.
Oh yeah, PBS shows them every week. And every place I've been to, you could pretty much find a Lawrence Welk program on a Saturday or a Sunday in the afternoon or evening on a PBS station.
And so as I've been, you know, exploring music, I get to times where things are piling up and I get a little bit mentally stressed. And then going to music and checking out different genres, different decades of music. I'm going to admit 60s, 70s, 80s are some of my favorites, especially when we're looking at jazz and soul and R&B. And I absolutely loved when you could get satellite radio when it first came out in vehicles. And I was listening to the 50s and 60s channels. And I'm definitely not a baby of the 50s and 60s, but just that power. That power that is felt.
Yes, I forgot to mention to you that I actually did a radio show at a college station in New Jersey in the mostly early 90s, but it was called Goldmine of Sounds. It was another guy's show, but I was his permanent substitute. So he'd take about 1 week a month off and I would do the show. We got to play everything we wanted to play. Mainly it was geared toward 50s, 60s, and 70s. Doo-wop, R&B, soul, and rock. Not like heavy rock, but classic rock even, but the older rock.
When you could still understand the words.
Play everything I wanted to play. I took my own records. This is when CDs were just starting to come in. So we did our own board hopping too. Sat down, had the mic on, had all the volume controls, had cassettes for the public service announcements, and not cassettes, eight tracks for that. I recorded on a cassette. I played records, 45s and 33s. And played CDs, so we're all popping stuff in there, but I got to bring and play anything I wanted to. And it was so much fun. It was a 4-hour show too. It was a nice long show. And the people, it was a small one because it was a college station. It was in Trenton, New Jersey, outside of Princeton. But the people that listened to it just loved the music. They'd be calling, oh, who wrote that song? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I love that song. So listen to this song. You notice the similarity? Well, yeah, they're both, the composers were the same person, or husband and wife, like Carole King and Jerry Goffin, who wrote tons and tons of music. So that was also another rewarding experience, doing a radio show and playing music for a small audience, but a very appreciative audience. You know, you were making a difference in their lives. Some of these people were down and out. Oh, you just helped make my day. I was really depressed and I got listened to your show and now I feel 100% better. So I'm sorry, I forgot about that when we talked earlier, but that was another.
That's fantastic. That's what I love about having things unscripted.
It's true. It's true, it comes naturally, you know?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I have friends that'll send me different videos or audio clips of music. And it's funny because they'll be a clear across the country, not knowing what I've got going on. They'll send me that. I'll, at a time I need a mental break, and I'll just start listening. And it's like, oh, wow, you don't realize how much I needed that, whether it's for calming or uplifting or just going with it, you know, energizing. Music does so much when it comes to the body and how we function.
Yes.
So much.
The funny part, you speak of, you know, 60s, 50s, and 70s, and the reflection of that I see every time the marching bands get their shows for the year. Because when I was doing music, we would do different shows each week or each couple of weeks. Today, they do a show based usually on a theme. Queen, Elvis, Chicago. These groups from that year, those years, even though, God, what, 50, 60, even 70 years later, if you're talking about some of Elvis's early works, almost 70 years. But yet, they're still doing those shows. It goes to the lasting effect of that music and the impact it has. Because these kids, are, you know, they're 16, 15. Oh, yeah, I love Queen. It's like, oh, okay. Or Chicago, the group Chicago. Because, of course, Chicago was a horn group. And Blood, Sweat, and Tears, those groups that came out, generally that was pretty much in the late 60s when the horn groups got really popular, meaning trumpets too. They always had sax solos in the 50s and 60s, but where they actually were revolving around the horns more, and they're still doing it today. Still doing it today.
Well, music lives on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does. It really
it's
does.
It's amazing. Even in big band stuff, I mean, you know, these students, some of the teachers will have big band music that comes back from the 40s, late 30s. So, and yeah, the stuff we do, the Dixieland group I play in, we do traditional Dixieland, which most of that means it's 80, 90, 100 years old. And the people come, we do it in this gazebo in downtown Venice in Centennial Park. And people are just invited. They bring a lawn chair or, you know, a little picnic lunch if they want or whatever. They just sit around the hill that comes up off the gazebo, and they watch us play, and it's fantastic.
Wow. I'm going to be in Florida next week, and I wish that I was going to be closer to where you are, because I would just be able to soak up not just the sun but also the energy from the music and enjoy that so much.
Oh yeah.
And think about it. I mean, music can put you in a good mood if you're in a bad mood. It could put you in a bad mood if you're in a good mood.
Yeah.
And I love that empowerment of how we are able to choose things that happen in our environment. And here we're talking about the sound in our environment and set the tone for our day.
Yes, yeah. It's another really wonderful feeling to be playing like at a dance. And looking out at the dance floor and seeing 30, 40 couples all dancing the tango or the mambo, you know, or even swing dancing, whatever they're doing. It's just a wonderful feeling. And especially now with the elderly people down here, that they are very, very active. They've kept young by dancing. And, you know, dancing obviously is a fantastic exercise. And they've kept young by going to dances. And they dance, and they're serious dancers too. They do the steps. I'm watching. Hey, that guy's really doing a mambo. That couple's really doing a mambo. They're doing it the right way. Or they're doing a cha-cha. One, two, cha-cha-cha. You know, they're doing everything just the way it's supposed to be done. And but it's very rewarding just to look out and watch these people and say, look at some of the music I'm playing. We have a little four-piece group. I do the wind instruments, do a little bit of singing. Keyboard player plays keyboard and sings a little bit. And then we have a bass player and a drummer. Just the four of us, but the music we put out and the people dancing on the floor just listening to our music makes it just so heartwarming.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now let's go back to some of the occupations, you know, that are related to or associated with music. So we started out with how, you know, music creates well-rounded people. But there are some people that stay within the music industry. So share with us, you know, some of the occupations within the music industry that you see that are either fading and need to be brought back or still going strong.
Within the music industry, you say?
Within the music industry.
Well, I don't know, because I've seen every aspect of it. I mean, from performing to educating to mixing, being a sound engineer. And it seems like all of them are going pretty strong. I have students, you know, that graduate, the ones that go into music, I would say probably at least half go into education. There are more job openings. And you have to be extremely competent, talented, and proficient to play in an orchestra, let's say. There's not that many openings in the orchestra. Now, don't get me wrong, I have had a number of students, and one guy I know, he won the International Trumpet Guild competition. He's getting ready to graduate. He'll be in a major symphony. And another kid that's a couple years younger than him, that's at Indiana University, which is one of the best universities for music. And he'll be in a symphonic orchestra somewhere when he graduates. So I have several that have done that. The majority do go into education, though. And there are a number of openings for band directors. And one of my students, he was conducting the band in middle school when his teacher was absent. He was in eighth grade. He's conducting the middle school band. Well, then he tells me, so I think I'm going to the pharmacy. He said, Kevin, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I said, but you seem to have an unbelievable interest in music. Everything seems to be about music for you. He said, yeah, I don't know about, you know, pharmacy is a pretty good career and that stuff. And well, he graduated and went to Wayne State in Detroit and was the first year trumpet player in the orchestra and the band. And now he's a high school band director and he's just loving it. He conducts two community bands also, which is like an evening activity, as well as his high school band. So yes, talk about being rewarded. I mean, you see somebody like that. We still stay, he's friends on Facebook, and you know, we'll post stuff about that I've done. I got a picture here I want to send him about when we were at band camp. He was a sophomore, I think, at the time, and I was the instructor. I was the wind instructor, and we had look-alike day. Well, I used to always wear a straw hat and usually a polo shirt and khaki shorts. So I walk out, and I got a yellow polo shirt and khaki shorts and a straw hat on, and I'm walking out of the cabin, and I look, and there's a young kid walking toward me. He's got the khaki shorts on, yellow polo shirt, straw hat, and a painted-on mustache. And that was my little buddy, Kevin. His dress up was to dress up like me. And it was like almost like that movie where they had a mini me in it, you know, that Austin Powers or whatever that was from a long time ago. But he's the guy, and he did it all, and you know, he loves it. And he's so happy he went into music, and I'm sure he's a lot happier than he would have been being in pharmacy. Sorry, Ben. But
yes, our buddy pharmacist Ben, but who also loves music. By the way,
that's good to hear.
Yeah, so I know that you have done so much outside of music, but you've gone back to music and you're continuing in your passion for keeping music alive and teaching, and you do one-on-one lessons.
Yes, all my instructions are one-on-one pretty much. I mean, when they have solo and ensemble, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but or your audience is familiar with it, but solo and ensemble is when a person or a small group of people, students, high school, middle school students, go and play in front of a judge for a rating. So I do deal with ensembles too. Mostly they're from my student base. They say, okay, well, I'm playing a solo, but I'm also playing a saxophone quartet. I say, well, you know what? Bring them in. One of my best students, that student I was telling you about that is gonna probably be trumpet player, won the Trumpet Guild competition. I met him that way. Some other guy's mother was in the store buying valve oil, and I happened to be behind the counter, and she said, my son, she's bragging, my son got a one at district, and there was trio, and they're going to state. I said, do me a favor, bring them in, invest, you know, and it was cheaper back in those days, but I said, just invest $20. You can split up the cost. I don't care. There's only one of me. So I'll bring all three of them in. I'll tune them up for the state competition. And she did. And so I'm working with them, and I'm working with him. And there's the younger guy. He was a junior, and then there was a sophomore, and the kid's a freshman. I'm listening to him. I said, this freshman kid is really, really good. You know, he's the youngest one of the three. He's on the third part, which means this is a trumpet trio. And he's on the third part. And boy, he actually sounds better than the other two. And so they went on, they got a one at state. And about a month later, this woman calls and says, I'd like to sign my son up for lessons. Well, it was that kid's mother. So that's how I got him as a student. And he just went on to explode. He played it, and he was first chair in the symphony, the Dearborn Youth Symphony, which is a local youth symphony from where I was living. First chair in high school, first chair in college, and won the Trumpet Guild competition. So I do deal with ensembles in that respect too.
You know, and it's not just in person with the creation of, you know, the internet and video conferencing. You have virtual lessons as well.
I do. They really started happening when I moved to Florida, and a bunch of my students in Michigan still wanted me to teach them. So I started offering FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, whatever kind of lessons to them. And that was 3 years ago almost. Moved here in May of 19. So it's going on 3 years now, and a lot of them I still maintain, which, you know, leads to the fact that it can be done successfully online. With the wind instrument, it's not too bad either, because piano, I could imagine, would be a little more difficult to teach online. You know, I kind of have to have the student's camera over the top of the keyboard and things like that. But with wind instruments, I say, just position your camera so I can see your hands, your fingers on the instrument, whether it's the flute, the saxophone, clarinet, trumpet, whatever. Even trombone, I said, just turn a little bit sideways so I can really get a handle on what position you're in when you're playing. And it's done very, very well. And I was really lucky, because when the pandemic hit and everybody went virtual, and I had a little over a year experience already teaching online when it happened, because it started to hit Florida probably about June of 2020. And so everybody went online for a few months. And then Florida was easy. They started relaxing much more quickly. So they came back. But even today, now, students say, oh gosh, you know what? I'm working, I can't get away from home, and my husband's working. Can we do this week online? Oh, sure, no problem. So even though they're in-person students the majority of the time, if they need to do online lessons, I'll do online lessons. And I have had several students that I started down here that moved, and I've been teaching them online. And it works. Especially with my students, it works pretty well.
Yeah. Well, for our listening audience now, of course, majority of them are not in Florida. But if they have a student, or they themselves have that gift of music and want to, you know, enhance it and work with you, I am going to be having on my website ways that they can contact you. And I don't know if you want to do by application. I know that you are retired, quote unquote.
Yeah, right. I'm busy.
But when you're doing something that's your passion, you know, I don't know that you want to retire from that.
I don't.
So I want to make sure that, you know, people who are really interested and serious about music, if they want to get themselves or, again, their children involved in music and connect with you, I want to make sure that we have that available to them. Because you're an amazing person. You are such an incredible mentor. You know, even young, right out of high school, going through college, out of college, you continue to take time out of your schedule to work with these kids. And just for some of them, you may have been one of the only constants that they had in their life. You know, when you really think about it, and they can associate music, and I'm sure that they keep that memory going through music and all that you put into their lives. And we want to encourage others to do that as well. Continue to be a positive light in other people's lives.
When they say music keeps you young too, it really does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, obviously we need to feed our bodies correctly, as you know.
Yes.
We need to do that. And I'll even encourage my students, believe it or not. Sometimes they look at me and they're kind of strange, but I encourage them to maintain a healthy diet. And but most of them are, like I said, they have these soccer activities or tennis team or whatever they're on. And most of my students are pretty healthy. And I try to keep them healthy because I don't want to miss their lessons either. So a little bit of a selfish aspect going there too.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. So we look at a holistic life, and part of a holistic life is things that are happening in your environment, whether they're physical, emotionally, mental, spiritual even.
Yes.
You know, life is not just focusing on one aspect of it, but it's a holistic approach. And when you take that holisticness into account and everything is synergistically working together, even being able to function through the hard times is so much easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing I want to point out to you that I didn't earlier is I noticed that my homeschooled students have a tendency to practice more because they're more closely involved with their parents and they're there with them. I have one young man who is going to be auditioning. He's only 11, I think, and he's going to be auditioning for the local symphony on clarinet because he practices every day.
And he wants to.
Yeah, and his mother homeschools him. They lived here in Florida. They moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's homeschooled, but he just practices every day. He comes back and we could get online, you know, and FaceTime and, okay, so we're doing flat sharps. Which ones are we doing today? Flats or sharps? I think we're doing flats. It's like, yes, we are, Colby. That's correct. And so he's like all fired up. He's ready to jump in right away. The minute the connection's made on the computer, he's ready to go to town.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to plant a seed for you, Dennis. I think that you would put together an incredible learning program that can be done through video with homeschoolers and making sure that homeschoolers have that opportunity to be introduced to music and through your love and passion for it, I think you would be the perfect individual to do it. So I'm planting that seed. Just planting that seed. So,
oh yeah, it's in the pot right over there by the window.
There we go. We're going to water it too.
Yes, yes. We got to give it some of those blooming minerals, you know.
There we go. Absolutely. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for taking time out of your retired schedule in between all that you do, for coming on with us here for Better by the Minute Live with Becca on KSCO 1080. Definitely appreciate you, Dennis.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure. I had a lot of fun.
Me as well.